Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Every Tuesday, we hold a public discussion on anything and everything pertaining to the penal system, prisoners, victims, causes, mental illnesses, addictions, symptoms, effects, outcomes, changes, and anything else anyone and everyone would like to discuss pertaining to criminal justice reform around mass incarcerations. This is an opportunity for all of you having something to say, to voice your opinions, or to provide feedback. Try to brainstorm for ways to improve the current issues of abuses, deprivation, psychological healing, and appropriate rehabilitation, treatment, and healing. We can talk about anything because right now we are in a very dysfunctional and divided country, and something needs to be done. I know our legislative members are working on many of these issues, but there's so much division between the parties that these things are not really being successful. I also want to let everyone know, and all of you already know, that we are in the holiday season, and we have to think about those who are lost and forgotten, those who are behind those prison walls, those who are suffering, being targeted, or being deprived or provoked or harassed or kept in confinement for 22 to 24 hours a day. And we also have to look at their family members. We have to look at all of the groups on Facebook who are crying out because they cannot be with their loved ones behind those walls, that are being very upset because they can't do anything about the situations that their loved ones are in. We also want to think about the victims out there in the communities, those who have been oppressed and those who have been losing loved ones themselves. We have to look at all of these situations, because the problem in this country is that people don't think about others, and they all go with the majority, whether the majority is wrong or right. We live in a country that there's so much corruption and injustices going on, and we need to start looking at these things and discussing them on a regular basis rather than talking about the problems of others. Look at the problems that you yourself could be a part of, because none of us are right in the way we think and the way we do things. We're not always right. We're not perfectionists. So we are part of the problems in this country, and we need to start talking about these issues. We need to see where we can be a better person and try to do something positive. We have to look at those people that are incarcerated, the situations, because not all of them are violent. Not all of them are hardcore criminals. We also have to look at the leaders, those who are overseeing these prisoners. They are human too, and they're making mistakes, whether it's purposely or whether it's because they're not sure. But we have to look at law enforcement. We have to look at COs, correctional officers. We have to look at prison officials. We have to look at the leaders of this country, legislative members, who are so focused on their own self that they don't want to make adjustments. And I'm talking about one Democratic party or person that's holding up the whole works because he is not sympathetic to the person or the people out there in the communities that have so little, because he has so much. We're going to be looking at these incarcerated individuals right now who have lost hope. We have to look at all of those who have actually committed suicide because they can't cope anymore, and those who are contemplating suicide, because many people in the communities have prejudged people they do not know behind those walls. It could be your own loved one that could have ended up behind those walls. How would you feel if your loved ones were being so mistreated and you were unable to get help from anyone because he was prejudged or she was prejudged? So we're going to be talking about a lot of these issues. And we also have people online that are ready to start talking as well. So I'm going to unmute and I'm going to welcome them. And I see a 605, most likely it's our Indian brother, Tanupa Guhamani?
Yes, that is me, man. Thank you, man. I got to jump on the show. I've been promoting your show the best I can to different people. And, you know, hopefully as we're, you know, getting on an open discussion, just food for thought. I have a young brother friend that's been incarcerated for 20 years, created a Blog Talk Radio show, and his show was hacked by the same guy, Joe, that's trying to come on your show. So be careful. He did this to Lawrence, and man, it really harmed Lawrence, and he feels bad about that because, you know, he turned his life around, became a minister, pastor, to try to help others understand, you know, even though he was incarcerated for 20 years, he turned his life around, and Lawrence is trying to do all he can to help others in the communities of reaching out, and, you know, not all people incarcerated are bad people, because that's the fiction of how America does it through their justice system. So I'll leave it at that, and let's continue on, and I want to listen to everybody that, and whatever I can engage, I will, sister. Thank you for having me on.
Okay, and we'll have more from you right now, though. I want to welcome 575, caller.
575? Yeah, this is Yate. This is Yate. Can you hear me?
Yes, we're kind of muffled, but we can hear you. Would you like to say something? Is it Mariate?
Well, I was just listening for now, but... I was just listening for now, but I might come in later.
Okay. Okay. So there's a lot going on right now. There's a lot of people preparing to celebrate the holidays, some Christmas, some Hanukkah. I guess everyone has a lot of different groups or cultures have their own celebrations for whatever they call their holidays. So I just want to say happy holidays to all of you who are celebrating whatever you may be celebrating. I personally don't celebrate the holidays myself, haven't for years, but all I look for is health, humanity, and love and compassion and mercy for everybody. And I hope that many of you throughout the holiday season will consider that, and because they say it was a celebration of Jesus' birth, but yet everyone's buying Christmas presents for one another, so that is your decision and whatever it is that you feel is right. But getting back to the real meaning of holidays, in my heart, in my mind, is thinking about those who are less fortunate. And we have so many people around the world right now that are out there starving. We have so many that are without family members. We have so many children that were divided or separated from their families during all of this craziness that's been going on with the government and the immigrants. And those are the ones I feel sorry for too. These children, that some of them have been reunited with their families, and they say the children are so frightened because they don't even know their parents anymore. They don't know their family members anymore. I don't know how anybody in this country or anywhere else can look at something like this as being humane or even normal. For children to be divided or separated from their families, and some of them, they said, were 6 months old when they were taken from their families. This government is not, it's not right. It's not humane. And everybody out there who thinks people in uniform or with titles are so righteous, you put them above God. You put them above the Most High. Not all of you do it. When I say you, I am stereotyping now, and I need to stop that. But many people in society today, they think it's okay to separate children from their parents. They think it's okay to hold up a package deal that's going to help all of the less fortunate. Politicians in power, one politician holding up the works for the less fortunate people to have something. People all over the country and all over the world that are starving, their children are without food. You look at some of these babies, their bones are sticking out. I can't imagine anybody in this world with any kind of influence, with any kind of power, can sit back and watch these things happen, can even be a part of making it happen. There are times when I have so much things I want to get rid of, and I would love to send it over to other countries. And I have sent things over to other countries, and it's cost me a fortune. It's kept me broke because I have to pay a lot of money to send a little package, a little tiny package to another country. They should have planes that are going, when they go over to these places, ask people if they want to donate to other countries, let them have a portion of the plane or the train or whatever to help these people instead of listening and watching starving children and prisoners dying because they have no hope for a future because they're given the maximum sentence. They give prisoners the same sentence that they give serial killers and terrorists, the same sentence. And those that want to do something while they're incarcerated, those that want to do some educational programs or work programs are denied by the very, very people that are out there telling the media these prisoners are lazy. They're not willing to do anything with their lives. It's not the prisoners. It's the people overseeing the prisoners. It's those correctional officers and officials, the Department of Corrections around the country. And they're making money off of your taxpayers' dollars. Everything that a prisoner, look at Christmas. Okay, some people in prison can get gifts. They can get food. There's a securest access. You can order a holiday package for some prisoners, while others who are in their cells for 22 hours to 24 hours a day cannot get anything. Some prisons in some states, you can write an 11 or 12 page letter, while another prison, you can only write 4 or 5 pages. You know something? I am so disgusted with the way things are run in this country. And everybody sits back. Okay, we have Chinupa Guhamani from South Dakota. We have a couple of other that are calling in. These people are concerned and they want to talk about these issues. Well, everybody likes on Facebook, or they sit back and do nothing. 505 caller, want to state your name, please. Well, I guess we have somebody that's just on listening, but I will continue. What I was saying
this is Tahisha. I just got online.
What is your name?
Tahisha.
Tahisha, okay. Welcome, Tahisha. I'm glad, and I want to welcome you because I want to welcome anyone that is going to be concerned enough to come on the show and talk or listen. And we have a problem in this country. And right now, we're at the verge of going to war. And I spend my time not only in Bible scriptures, focusing on what it says in Bible scriptures, because if anybody has any sense and they believe in a creator, they believe in God, they're going to be looking at those scriptures because it's telling us everything right now. It's talking about the last days. Not only the last days. We are not in the last days. We are in the last seconds of the last days because it says 1,000 years with the Lord is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. We're going into the third day, the 3 days that Christ Jesus talked about. It talks about the weather. It talks about the weather. Look at what's happening. 3 or 4 days ago, it was like summer out here in Massachusetts. The next day, it was snowing. We have the fires. We have the floods. We have the earthquakes. We have the tornadoes. We have the hurricanes. We have the hearts of many people which have grown cold, incompassionate, people that are ignorant, people that are agreeable to the injustices going on, people that sit back and as long as it doesn't happen in their backyard, they could care less. Sometimes you will see somebody that's so angry and frustrated that they may be out there doing something wrong. But you let a person talk equal to them. Let a person talk equal to them. Let a person understand why they're angry and talk about it. Instead of judging, talk to them like you're talking to a friend. And I guarantee you're going to get better results from that person. I have had that happen so many times. And if I can have people listen to what I'm saying and I can listen to that person or those people and I can see the difference in their attitudes, they are willing to open up to all the things that are hurting them, are bothering them inside. Total strangers will open up to you if they can relate to you. Instead of people trying to let them think that you're above them, try to be on the same page, at the same level, because you are no better carrying a title, wearing a uniform. What does that make anybody? And Chinupa, what is your thoughts on that?
You know, that is the most serious response of what concern means. I'm going to respond to this, you know, understanding. You know, when you look at policies from courts and how our people are accused of certain, you know, crimes against humanity or even crimes within humanity, administrations and officers of courts and, you know, the whole, you know, alienation of depriving human rights, one has to take in particular this type of concept. Many years ago, tribal people tried to use and interpret certain covenants that would help protect their human rights. And when you got verbally intense with it, right away they'd send the FBI in. They would send, you know, tribal police and BIAs, Bureau of Indian Affairs agents to come in and try to see and get an understanding of why you were contemplating an issue like that. First of all, people, and really listen to this, and I'm going to say it whether you like it or not, and if it offends you, you call my number, 605-517-2621. You call me, and I'll debate it with you. You all have an identity number. I don't give a shit if it's a Social Security card, driver's license card, enrollment card, date of birth card, whatever the scenario is. These are prejudicial errors that face the value of how administrations of courts implement that to you to get you to comply with extraordinary sentencing when they find you innocent and guilty. The reason why I say innocent and guilty, because they're both the same, because the adjudicated, you know, protection of that does not serve the purpose of an individual's liberty, okay? And this is the hard part for a lot of us, because I always say this in speaking engagements and shows that I come on in. You all talk too much, but you're not talking about why this system of injustice fails humanity. Sister Leona just amplified something that was really, really open, because she talked about sending a gift out of state and how all the amounts of money she put into that. But yet she did it because she cared. She showed the overly lovable, you know, condition that she carries. And even she admitted something else, that, you know, all this stuff is, you know, all stereotypical, which it is. But claiming legal authority is not negotiable, and here's why. The human rights virtues in life, when the great mystery gave you life, he didn't give you a number, people. He did not give you a number. You see, civilized and modern man do this in a form of a perversion of policies. That's the municipal corporations, legislative branches, how the federal court judges, magistrates, and so forth, even the goddamn DOJ, they use that routine as a policy to back and confirm response to deny you of your human rights. The central protocols to that through these administrations are never challenged. And I've been saying this not only on sister shows, but on our show. You see, crimes against humanity are being kept hush-hush because we're in so-called domesticated and foreign, you know, affairs created by a system that has no means of safeguarding human rights. So faithfully, in the heart of civilized and modern man, okay, faithfully, if you discharge those duties which you hang on to, then and only then can you say, so help me God. You see, that's what you're using his name for illegally. But the great mystery can see you from above. We know this as indigenous people. So in America, what you call the United States of America, legislative branch have a territorial court through a general jurisdiction that usurped its own exercise of jurisdiction. So, you know, geographically in those areas, make it an extra constitutional, you know, behavior, because it collaborates and it ignores how people are based to be judged. And the sad thing about it is, I'm going to say it again, whether it offends you or not, I don't care. You can debate with me. Call my number, 605-517-2621. What it means there is that based upon how the elites collaborate, they pay for judges. They pay for, you know, the prosecutors to look the other way. Don't forget that young boy that unleashed his firepower and killed three of his own. And yet he was acquitted because he has a right to bear arms. He has a right to defend himself. Well, God dang it, maybe the rest of the people that were incarcerated had a right to bear arms and defend themselves. But why does it work for them but not for us? You see, that's how humanity's discretion of being indiscreet towards people of color justify the acronym means to get you to confess. And America has always been a communist country that creates treasonous acts to violate the Constitution of human rights. That's how I answer that question very openly, wholeheartedly, because I'm sick and tired of people out there harming everybody else that are trying to do good things to help the community. And Lawrence is one of them, my little brother Lawrence. Back to you, sister.
You know, that's so true what you're saying. I will say people, they, even with legislative members, I mean, government in the country, a lot of government workers, their loved ones, their friends, a lot of people out in the community, that they have any kind of power and something happens, they say they're so sorry that, you know, they didn't mean to do it, or they make excuses and they get away with it. Look at these people. They cry, people in uniforms. They cry now. They've learned how to do some injustice, and they learned how to get away with it by breaking down and crying and making it seem like they're really hurting over it, when there's so many people incarcerated who were hurting over what they did, who really were sorry for what they did and continue to be sorry for what they did. And yet not only did they get life and life without parole or the death penalty, but they have to live with the injustices that continue to be inflicted upon them. And this is sad too, because, you know, maybe all of us need to go into law enforcement. Maybe all of us need to get a job working for the DOC so we can get away with something. And we I'm going to tell you, people in this country, they've not been close to what others have gone through. The majority of people in this country, they either are in power or they have friends and family in power. They have connections. But when something happens, you listen to the news every single day for years sometimes. You're hearing the same news. Look, we're still talking about the Boston Marathon and all of those things. Put it behind us so we can move forward, because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there, including family members who lost loved ones, that want to put it behind them so that they can move on with their lives. But yet we have a media that continues to do this. When we look at those people in other countries, these are war zones. These are people, families, children, you know, women. These are people that have been so used to being in abused and persecuted, afflicted, so used to losing their loved ones, so used to wars. They are so used to it. It has made them so strong that they move on. They don't stand there or sit there and complain and hope that everybody's going to give them all this attention. They move on, and they try to raise their children, what's left of the children. I helped this girl from the Middle East that was in this country. She went through so much. She was telling me that when there was a war in Lebanon, that these, as a child, they would go to school. They had to go ducking in between the buses and the army tanks to go to school. They didn't know if they were going to have a home or a family to go back to. She lost her entire family through wars. And she was a twin. She knew her sister was alive because she felt it as a twin. But the rest of her family, they were completely wiped out. She came to this country, and because she was different, she was beaten all the time. She was abused. These are the things that happen in this country that's so everything that happens in this country, no matter how little it is, people make a huge monument, a huge monument on it. I was watching the news. I turn the news on. I want to watch the world news and the local news. And everything I hear about is this one here, his fish or his turtle. Or it's all about this little petty stuff when we got a major, major epidemic in this country, major problems going on in the government. And they're talking about little birds and little fish and little lizards and little, my goodness, where are they coming from? You know why? These are prominent. These are young people coming from prominent backgrounds. They don't know how to report serious news. Like I tell everyone all the time, even with social work, if you're going to be a social worker, you're living in the United States, they need to teach about cultures. They need to teach you how to work with different cultures, because you're coming from a prominent background with no husband, no children, money, good friends and peers that you're associating with that don't even know. And you're going to go into the homes of many dysfunctional homes where people have been abused, people have been deprived, people have had psychological issues, medical issues. This is what they do in the United States. These teachers are getting money to teach nothing. If you see somebody come out and they know all about cultures, they know all about the cultures, then that means they're being taught something. If they know something about the cultures, then we talk about the environment. Here they are talking all the time about global warming. And that, then you have this Manchkins, whatever his name is, not wanting anything to do with that. And then you have these wealthy people paying billions of dollars to go up to space for 10 or 11 minutes. That's how serious this government is about resolving problems. They continue to go up to space into all these places, polluting the air, wasting all kinds of trillions of dollars when the country's falling apart. And then you have all these, trying to rule all these countries about human rights issues when we have so much human rights violations in our own country. When I think about the people I have seen and heard of that have been so badly abused, and then we wonder if they have actually committed suicide or if it was actually homicide, and people in uniform getting away with it because we have an ignorant society that loves the uniforms, thinking they're being protected, when in fact, they better watch themselves. Because look at, now you have, when police stop anybody in a car, when any person of color, when they're stopped by a police officer, naturally they're afraid to get out of their car. Bill. And that's what was happening with that one that recently got killed by that woman, Potter or whatever her name is, that broke down and cried, "I didn't mean to do it. I didn't mean to do it." There's a lot of people that don't mean to do what they did. There was a politician up in Vermont before he got, the couple of days before he got elected, he was being interviewed by the media. He struck one of the reporters. The man landed on the ground. He got elected the next day because the votes were already in. But he went before the media and apologized. He apologized saying that he didn't mean to do it. What if he killed that person? Because he didn't mean to do it, he would have gotten away with it? We have a society that needs to wake up. You need to listen. People, you need to listen. You need to be a part of all these conversations so that you can be not only aware, but that you can learn ways to help. If you don't know how to help, come on the show or listen to the show. Listen to the contacts you can make. You can go on the internet and type in your own legislative members who are trying to do good. You can listen to them. You can look them up. Legislative members working towards prison reform. Legislative members working towards criminal justice reform. Legislative members working towards improving communities. I was listening to this, what's his name, Pastor Hagen or Reverend Hagen or whatever, the big heavy set guy on the Daystar the other day, talking about the Bible. And he has the nerve to talk about all these homeless people and all these prisoners and all these people like they were garbage. I wonder if he would have been talking like that about the Christ Jesus when the Christ Jesus walked the grounds with sandals and a robe with nowhere to lay his head, hanging around and associating with the lowlifes, tax collectors, fishermen. This Hagee is supposed to be a man of God. The only God he's going to see is the one under the ground. Because if anybody is a Christian, they're going to love all people, regardless of age, gender, race, or religion, regardless of their social status, regardless of whatever they are. You don't hate. You try to help. You try to change. And you try to do that by being equal to the person you're trying to help, not above, not looking down on somebody. And I want to welcome 505. You want to state your name, please?
This is Tahisha again.
Okay. 605-1440. Okay. How about 208? Somebody's got to have enough courage to speak up. 208? Okay. I'm going to put everybody on mute if you're not going to say anything, if you're just listening. If you're going to say something, just give me a heads up before I put you on mute.
Yeah, I'm going to say something, but as soon as you put it on mute, I'll help you out with that because...
No, I'm not going to put you on mute. I'm not going to put you on mute, Tanu, because you seem to be the only one that has speaking out. And that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at brave people that are going to speak out about what's going on and maybe offer some feedback or offer some, share some information or some brainstorming or whatever.
Yeah, this is Bryson, who is a 1440 number.
Okay, 1440. How are you? What's your first name?
Bryce.
Oh, Bryce. Okay, how are you, Bryce?
Good.
Good. Did you have anything you wanted to say?
I just got on, so I kind of missed the context
okay.
of what you're saying. I just
okay.
got to tie in about doing
we'll
some activity.
We'll come back to you. You can listen to catch up on what we've been talking about. But basically, what we're talking about, the injustices in the country, you know, the lack of people getting involved in trying to brainstorm, trying to come up with solutions to the problems. Because it's not happening with the government. We got so many two parties. Now we got more than two parties. We have an independent party. We have a Democratic party. We have a Republican party. And I don't know how many other parties we got. And none of them seem to know what they're doing. They can't control their peers. They're fighting back and forth like little five-year-old elementary school kids when they have a country to run. The country's falling apart while they're going back and forth bickering like kids. And the ones that are suffering are the ones in the street, the homeless, the ones in the homes. They're trying so hard to survive with their children, with themselves, the racial issues. All these things we need to work on, and we've got people that are sitting back and liking and doing absolutely nothing. And this is what makes me upset, because we're not going to resolve issues if people don't speak up. 720, want to state your name, please.
My name is Cheek.
Cheek?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Did you have something to say, or you want to listen for a while and catch up with what we've talked about?
I want to listen for a little bit.
Okay, 208. Okay, 208,
what's my speed fixes?
Pardon? What we're talking about right now are things that we need to try to figure out ways to help our legislative members, help our government do something to make this country at least back to its almost humane situation. And maybe if everybody gets involved and starts making calls to legislative members and offering some kind of solutions, or even supporting those who are actually trying to make progress. I'm going to mute. There's some background noise. I'm going to mute until.
Yeah, mute some because you can hear that background. But let me help you out here, sister, with that measure you just, you know, amplified. You know, austerities are certain programs that are kind of sequenced to the eminent domain through people's practice, you know, when they pick up a so-called, you know, status quo or status quo when they become legislative members in tribal politics, state politics, federal politics, and county politics. People, keep in mind, you have certain immunities when you're in these programs, but that doesn't protect you from the human rights violations that this country is violating every day. Your taxpaying dollars when you work in these positions do not, and I repeat, do not protect your family members or your tribal members or your people in general that are incarcerated. One of the things that is becoming an absent, you know, informative, you know, consent is that all of you politician people are ignoring the fact that you have a loved one incarcerated. And that's notwithstanding, okay? There's certain penalties that can come at you if you continue to violate your oath of office. And so what I'm saying to help my sister pull this austerity through this program that you all talk about, certification is one thing from a political standpoint, whether it's tribal, county, state, and federal. One of the things that really is, you know, a very, very difficult exercise through the jurisdictions, particularly in geographic areas such as county, states, reservation, and the federal places, because the District of Columbia is the only thing that's federal. And I think New York City might be. I'm not going to say I'm going to agree to it, but I'm thinking it is. The reason why I say that, the management, which has certain prescriptions to those values that are supposed to be controversial, they hypnotize your brain through a machine so you do commit treason. But then it's the act of that violating the DOJ's policies, the federal policies, the Constitution, and so forth. But the hard part is this, because you all talk so goddamn much, you're not seeing that your brain is incarcerated too, through the machine. And here's why. When my sister's been trying to conclusively give you the assumption how powers are disclosing your type of need through a human, you know, virtue standpoint as the body itself, none of you can take on that jurisdiction to exercise those provisions when people are trying to tell you that they are innocent. America, before the name was ever given to the people that became an American citizen, okay? This country of mine called Turtle Island lived with love and life, and they cared for everything. The four-legged were multiplied by quadruples, and it was less than almost 15 years that the white race exterminated our food source. You had 64 million head of buffalo that lived in the north, 64 million head of buffalo that lived in the south, and they migrated and passed each other. So that reduced that to a level to almost 200,000. White man did this. See, this is how they're doing with the population. These are penalties of treason. America can be held for that. But yet you people talk so goddamn much about policies and procedures protecting the programs you represent. You're not protecting or fighting for human rights. That's fraudulent, people. So until you take the apparatus and state that claim against humanity, then and only then can you talk. Because it'll show that you are somebody to protect human rights. All I hear from every meeting that I go to is talk about all the good things you're serving the white man. And over the weekend, I've been to one. And that the people, the federal government and its cronies, which is, you know, the corporation Unearthed Human Remains, okay? And they're putting that responsibility on the indigenous people's hands. And as stupid as my Indian people are, they're going to try to do it. We are told traditionally to never unearth the people that have passed on. But see, white men been doing this from day one to do experimental testing. Why they died, what's the problem with them, what's, you know, what's great about the masculination of our people. Not only did they do it to indigenous people, but they do it to other people of color. But here's the catch. Isn't that a criminal offense when you unearth bodies that's been, you know, decayed for so many years? Yes, it is. But you don't hear tribal governments, state governments, county governments and federal governments making those initiatives because it's all biased. But here's people praising the FBI. Oh, thank you, FBI, for doing tremendous work. Bullshit. They've incarcerated so much of our people, male and female, even children. Even children, they have done that, and you guys still give them a sympathy of love and gratitude. Man, you are inhuman. But I will say this to help what I'm saying with my sister implementing this understanding. Constitutional rights are your very liberty, okay? So that forced is what people are being deprived of. You have no sovereignty. You don't have sovereignty. Hell no. That's just a biblical word, man. But the hard part is the information that is consent from public prescriptions of management. You too, people that are in this position, fail. And I'll say it to your face wherever I catch you, because I'm sick and tired of you guys praising the white man for everything, whether it's bad or good, to incarcerate people and take their lives away from the human being himself. What you people did in the name of law and order, when you pressed your knee against my late brother, George Floyd, man, and you forced him to call out for his mom, white man, all the women in this country should be in an uproar. Because he hollered for his mother. Mama, he cried. And God damn it, man, no other women came through there. I was at that protest and riot in Minnesota. Man, this is what happened. These are crimes against humanity. And I did say this on previous radio shows. If all color of man that's been abused by the white race himself and even some of his white people that are willing to take on this understanding, we need to file genocide and propitiate fundamental practice complaints against this country. And we can do it from a United Nations standpoint, because other countries dislike what's going on here in Turtle Island. I hate that crass term, America. And that's blasphemous, so be it. And if you disagree with what I just said on behalf of my sister Leona, call me 605-517-2621 and I'll debate this criteria with you. Back to you, sister.
I want to point out something. I have to bring this up with religion, because a lot of people, a lot of churches, they judge other churches, other religions. I have been involved in many, many religions, because I want to be able to say, if I don't agree with the church, I want to be able to say I don't agree with that particular church. But I'm not going to talk about the religion. And I notice a lot of times I have dropped out of different religions because they think their religion is the only religion, and they talk about other religions. They talk about the Baptists, or they talk about the Methodists, the Catholics, or the Muslims, or the Jews, or whatever the case may be. And I want to be able to say, if I'm going to have anything to say about any religion, I want to be able to experience it. And one of the things I find is they talk about each other rather than come together and try to do the research to find out the full meaning of the Bible. The same thing with words. I know that people get so frustrated with everything going on in this country, but I'm the type of person that I'm going to try to be an example, even though I get frustrated sometimes and I want to swear and I want to use all kinds of vulgar language. I don't, because I'm not showing anyone an example if I do that. So one of the things I want to bring out is also, when we talk about any race, we are not talking about the entire race, because there are right now, there's so many mixed marriages, so many multiracial families, that the country is becoming more united, as it says, United States. It's not only united from representatives from every country in the world, but it's united as far as coming together with the different races. We still have so much racism in this country, as you say, Chinupa, with what happened to George Floyd. There's a lot of people out there that still would be in that same mindset to hate somebody because of the pigmentation of their skin. Those are people that are uneducated. And I was thinking the other day, if parents can teach their kids all those years such hatred against other races or religions, then that means they can't have that kind of love for their own children. Because me, I would want to spend all my time loving my child and teaching my child right from wrong and trying to teach them. And unfortunately, that's another thing. There's a lot of people in prison who were stumbled by people who weren't taught the right way of living. And they ended up infecting other people's children with their own ignorance, their own activities. So if these people that are so racist were taught all those years, were taught by their father and mother how to hate people, then that means they were never taught love. And that is so, so sad, because it becomes, again, it becomes a cycle. So they were taught by their parents to hate someone because of the pigmentation of their skin or because of their religion or their race, culture. Then that means they weren't taught how to love. And what does it say in the Bible? It says love everyone, because we all, our DNAs all came from the same place. It came from the Africa and the Middle East when it was all one continent. People just migrated all over the place. But the thing is, it's so sad. Whenever I think about these people that are so racist, they're going to do the same thing, that they were taught to hate rather than teaching love within their own family and outside the family. They were taught. I'm going to let you pick up on that, because I have to step up for that.
You know what Sisters is amplifying on, folks? I want you to really pay attention. America is the melting pot of all countries, okay, because it transformed itself into a way of mixer, and the mixer is like, you know, interrelationships with other people of color, whether it's bad or good, okay? America discharged something that is very critical in modern speaking, because if we take a look at it from primitive perspectives, nothing was ever incarcerated, okay? Nothing was ever, you know, subjugated through control. And animals can prove that on a daily basis, but yet as we two-legged try to see, you know, the metamorphosis that surround us in the so-called, you know, biblical foundations of how we see things from the point of view that is, you know, versified for us, we will never, I repeat, we will never, ever come to an agreement with oneself. And here's why. And I'm going to say this briefly on Sister's show, and I don't mean to offend you guys, because it's not my fault that a lot of you can't pick up your language and implement that more on a traditional, you know, virtue to it. Cha tiwahe ki lena kakana unchib yo hapi wa khaje lena ichakhu chapi ho yung kha le am peto ki taku e phe ki le wo la khote e chef ke nasi pikte hanta ki ksu ya po wa khan khan ka ki chi mane to ki le wo ki un kupi e honi he un cha taku lena we chose ani we choni let us e Ptala on kiwa dauna etaha taku lena on kikwa kokte kile hena wosuta he yanke. As toni lechus e oyate on kitrope, toha iglecha abhata, mila haska instuk halawa shichug lena ni pri chaji kilena yuhapiki, toni hena hechus e ayapach babo yaki itni. Lehe inshan yanke. As ichuha. Taku lena oyate chimpik te hata, na oyate tchoksag lena inshan wakapi. Lila o techike, ash tagni hecha nazi oyaki, nanisha hena sloyapi, wambalaki, tasloa, heuncha, taku hepheki le otchana o chichaka. Misha taku lena, misha oblukwak on ha, hena chabi blablina ha, pia I kachi mit hoki, yuki wacha na hoetaha, yuki wacha on ha, hechus e kiktan etaha wablaziki le wambalaki. Cha yuhiwi chao ki le e cha nahak se he yanke. Na lila ota tiwahe on kitho pi kashkanyan kapi. Maza tiyo pi usha ata chegelan taona, yokshi chaona, lo chimpi. Ash inihas ni mila haskat ha wopheki, nye cha I hakab ilalam na washtela paki. Hena e cha washtes mu mitaki epi. Cha I chuhan taku e pche ki le mitkhat Chungshimit hakile owakyake, toksha ochi chinkte. Na tohan le Okanchula lena atu hanta ochichikte okhe inkhahechama. Chakikshuya po peto onji wakantka tiopani tkhoki patoto nazi hanta nietsa shikawa lakikte. He ukte, he unchatakule prekile wola khotogna uchoy mitkhoki tkhokata kakholiwa. Hech uchinchela kile owake. Ho epekhelo, aho. For some of you that were really getting into this understanding of what my sister was implementing, the life that has some attributes, okay, through certain aspects, America and even their prison concepts utilize their numbers, okay, to calculate Maiman from, you know, the departments of DOG, the departments of justice and so forth. Mammon, on the other hand, is used to feed our brothers and sisters that are incarcerated in these colonial prison camps, just like a contractor would make a bid to build a new one. So, multiply, our people don't see that our brothers and sisters suffer inside these prison camps from days in and days out. And the hard part, that recklessness, continuing in today in 21 on December 21st. This is the hard part, folks. Most of us will never, ever take on that judicial branch of a norm to halt it by filing complaints against them because of the mistreatment of our brothers and sisters incarcerated in these colonial prison camps. It just doesn't go there. But you got to look at the juvenile detention center, orphanages, and so forth. There are still victims of our people being molested and raped by these departments of justice. And yet you've turned to look the other way. This conquest of humanity is vested upon a discovery, how kings and queens and the Christian empire failed to meet those standards to protect people. And I say that because I'm adjudicating this protection, okay? That's my liberty. And the hard part, if we're ever to have some easement guaranteed to protect our people, we have to be completely in the form of mind of having freedom implemented from the independent structure. If you don't have them, people, shut up. Shut up and stay comfortable the way you are while the rest of us continue to exercise and speak out for the people that are less fortunate. Even in the nursing homes, our people are being victimized up there. And these are crimes against humanity that this American system has applied to every color of man, even you, as our voices get out to you. The operational goal is to put those priorities of values before you so you do have a sentiment of common purpose meant to help your people understand that not all people are bad people. This is why my sister and I, we voice our concerns because we're sick and tired of this manifest destiny applied to our people by cultivating and incarcerating you from day in and day out. And just like that young girl, praise the FBI for a job well done. That's inhuman. Don't forget our brother Leonard Peltier is accused of FBI agents when that man didn't do a damn thing but stood up for your human rights to fight for your protection. And yet, man, he's rotting away in prison. Nobody talks about that. Nobody puts that energy on Leonard. But yet, people are out there raising money off him and so forth. That's a false identity. To me, that's theft and fraud from a technical brief. And so, sister, are you back on air? I best not. She must not be back on air, so I must continue on to help her. You see, folks, until we understand what's happening that our brothers and sisters are going through, consisting of the violence that was imposed upon us from 1492 when they arrived here. Remember, white America's population of people would be homeless today. They would be, with an acronym means, gone out of a immunable promise, okay? This benefits their own ego. Why? Because many sacrifices out in the East Coast, from Maine to Florida and inward, my people were subjugated and subdued, massacred and murdered, wiped out. And those brothers and sisters that lived in that inhabited area can never, ever reproduce itself again. It's crossbred. America is a crossbred country. whether you like it or not, and if that offends you, so be it. This is why, man, the incarceration almost in every state in this country of ours, even on the reservations, we have colonial prison camps to neutralize human rights. We're not protecting them. We're not using the divine rights to help them. We're not doing any of that, but we're doing everything to de-spiritualize them, dehumanize them, de-indigenize them, man, from their sacred necessities that will give them ability to look back to the earth and the great mystery as their real principles of value. And that's the legal authority. And I'm only using that to describe it since you all know white man. I just said something in Lakota to help you look at those barriers from a decision. But the common purpose is not to halt you from thinking freely, but to ask you to get back into the struggle and do something courageously to help your people free themselves from this captivity, from this, you know, corporate America, from this capitalistic, you know, regime. And all countries outside my waters that failed to meet those purposes, they all fell from a human rights perspective. Those eras are at face, and they're of value today, and it's happening. Take a look at it. Why do you think we have global warming? Why do you think we have climate change? All this shit is happening for one reason. The white race is trying to destroy it for himself. Self-gain is inevitable, people, but yet you still, man, love it. When you violate your own office of oath, which is the great mystery, Mother Earth and all the winged and four-legged, you are violating your own human rights of freedom. And that failure of what you did to yourself will persecute you in the end when the time comes. As I said earlier,
I wanted to step in, you know, but I have to say one thing. I can't blame the government completely, because it's the people of the country that needs to make a move. And if they all sit back and just accept things the way they are, don't get involved and just gossip back and forth between one another, nothing is going to be accomplished. So we can blame this government. We can blame everybody. We can blame everybody in politics, and we can blame a lot of these racist white people. But what are the others doing? Absolutely nothing. You know, they want to be out there acting like they're better than thou, but yet they don't do anything but associate with their peers that are just like them. Their peers may have some money. They may have some power. They may have some prestige. I don't know. But I laugh at it. I think it's a big joke. Because people that just associate with their little clique, they're less than the lower. They're less than the homeless, because they're so dependent upon their peers that they're going to try to do everything they can to keep up with their peers rather than step out of that little box that they're in and start doing something for somebody that is out there that has less than them. It's the government. We blame the white man. We blame the government. But we have to blame those out there, regardless of race, regardless of status. We got to blame those out there that are so insecure that they feel like they have to associate with it. Just like a lot of these racist people. I'm sure there's people out there that are racist that don't even want to be any part of those people they're associating with that are really racist. But because they're so insecure, they're going to act like they're racist too. And they're going to do the same thing, fall on the same line as their peers. Because they cannot, if there's any humanity in any human being that's associating with racist people or people that are trying to bring someone down, then they're either psychologically, mentally ill, or they're so psychologically deprived or oppressed themselves. They're doing it themselves to themselves. What you're saying makes so much sense to normal people and to people that really want to see a change and the people that really want to do something. But what we say, what we do, and they say success in numbers. Well, we're not getting numbers from this society, people in this country. We're not getting numbers to stick together and do things. And there's a lot of advocates out there, too. there's a lot of advocates that are really, really, they're envious of people that are actually doing some good. Some of them want to be out there because they're trying to promote whatever they're doing, book writing or whatever. And that's sad. And then I do extensive research. I'm always trying to find resources, supportive resources for prisoners. I'm trying to find it for their families. I'm trying to find it for people in society. And then you have all these people, when you do the research, the resources are out there, but they're doing nothing. They're all, every time you see donate, every time you see contribute, every time you hear about money, that's all it about. There's legal services, there's prison programs out there, there's lawyers out there in the legal field, but they're doing absolutely nothing. But yet, they're getting all this funding because they're either a 501c3 or a 501c4, so they're getting all this money, so they can naturally, they can have their website looking so good and promising to do all these things, when I know for a fact, not only am I running a radio show, but I have an organization too, and I know for a fact prisoners are not getting the help they need from the very people that are promoting their organizations, saying that they help those whose human rights are violated or whose civil rights are violated or who's going through so much. I can name these organizations, and there'll be a day when they'll all be named. But this is what I'm saying. You don't, in a lot of these organizations like Amnesty International, American Civil Liberties Union, a lot of these places, who's holding them accountable? A lot of these organizations in the United States are supposedly doing work outside the United States, helping the less fortunate in other countries. How do we know they're actually giving the help that they claim they're giving, but yet they're getting the funding from the United States? There's so many prisoners who are dying, crying out. In Pennsylvania, in 2007 and 8, three prisoners in the hole, one after the other, allegedly committed suicide, when they were crying out for help because they were being abused and detained in the hole. I called ACLU, each one died. Joe Kappa, Joe Hoquin, Clifford Finney, all in Pennsylvania. Look it up. People, this is ACLU. Every time I called, they couldn't help because they didn't have the resources and they didn't have the manpower. The same thing occurs here in Massachusetts. You hear the same thing from the same legal services that they have out there for prisoners.
Can I interject something on this? I had a cousin just called from Texas, incarcerated down there, and he was talking about his health condition, and he needed treatment, and he's being denied that. So an Apache brother that's studying in there, and he's studying, and they got little wood projects, little things going on that they get paid whatever, 25 cents or whatever it is. But that's a big issue on health care, if you're talking human rights. But in the bureau system, the incarceration system, it seems like, and you look at the way the medical field is going today, they created a vaccinated, unvaccinated, you know. So they created a division where even doctors are denying, you know, the Hippocratic Oath and the Good Samaritan rule and just being a doctor-patient relationship. They're ignoring all of that, and they have an attitude about it. So now you have a movement since January 6th, almost going to be a year here now, a Trump movement that's still moving, you know. Established mindset of you poor people need to be gone and the rich people get the relief. But now, that's always been there, but it's more prevalent today when you're talking human rights and you're talking about people in prison that aren't getting the medical care that they need, and neither is Joe Blow on the street corner that's not getting the medical care that they need either. That should be the number one thing in this country is health care. We should have the best health care on the planet because of the resources and the mind power that's being oppressed and suppressed right now. So it is a big mind awakening thing that needs to happen. I agree with that. And if you don't know the processes, you got a lot of old, no offense, but you got a lot of old white people running these federal agencies and they're retiring now in the Senate and House now. You got people retiring now after how many years in the U.S. Congress. Some did good and some gave the break to the rich guys, the corporations. So how do you beat that? You know, yeah, you beat it by vote. You vote in people that hopefully will side with the people. But they set up laws to that you have to challenge those laws, like Citizens United. They are being challenged.
I'll step in.
It's not like nobody's doing anything. It's being done.
I understand that part, but here's the catch. When you say, when somebody has to vote for this, okay, and you get calls from Texas, I get calls every week, not only from South Dakota, but elsewhere, even in the FCIs, the Federal Correctional Institutions. And they talk about all this shit. I don't care about health care right now. What I care about is the release of our brothers and sisters that need to come home to unite themselves with families. There's a deficit there of incarceration. That is an indistinguishment behavior created by civilized and modern man because he wants to control the population of human people. That's bottom line. They've done it to animals. They've done it to everything. And the hard part is the measures that are written in policies and procedures that neutralize human rights is not the key. Globally, we understand. I do, too. Because I deal with it on a contrary basis, that lack of understanding, okay? Plausible assumptions of the exterior of injustices is a concealed lack of that reality, okay? That's a disguise that America has always been doing because, yeah, you're right about all these elderly politicians. They've been in there too goddamn long. But the reality is a lot of you people that sit in the departments that can make change in legislative, you know, measures, you're failing to do that because you're not speaking the right language to them. In America, no matter how they sit in a legislative measure, you've got to challenge them from a vocal standpoint. I just seen something in my time, and I hate it. I seen a white man come on a radio show and speak to my black people. And I call them mine because they're in my country, the same way that white man's illegally here. So my black people heard this white guy chastise different formalities and programs that were not municipally exceptional to help get them into balance to get released, whether they were on parole or whatever they understand, probation, okay? And what happened was when this white man raised his voice, get what happened? My black people got quiet, silence. You see, this goes far beyond, driven to how that circumstance prevails itself. The same with indigenous people. The same with we Indians, because we use white man's philosophical standard as a third revision. Okay? That third revision is the language itself. So if we were to use our native language, that would humble the white man. And he's privileged in our country. Okay? The reason for that, that shame is illegal. So the processes that keep sending our brothers and sisters in, you know, to prisons and juvenile detention centers and nursing homes, if we don't know how to love and care for one another no more. And we know that. We don't want to talk about that. Respecting things, honorable, is the peer reality. Because one day, when times become very inefficient for the body and it starts to shut down and you're ready to return to the spirit world, what have you done in your lifetime to change something for the good, to change it for happiness, to change it for love, to change it for life, so nobody else has to experience this virtue? I used to have a saying to my mom and dad, man, I wish you guys didn't have sex because I wouldn't have to go through this in my own time in life. That's my guilt. And here mom and dad had these children out of the love for each other because they wanted a family. But because of this abuse, these human rights violations, that's what all these departments and governments don't talk about. Even the incarceration they don't talk about. They don't even talk about the homelessness. And this is inhuman. And so I stick my neck out like this. I'm like that turtle. I got a hard shell that I carry on my back, but I'm willing to stick my neck out That's the hard part for the rest of humanity, because talking is one thing, but if we're not going to aim at it, where it comes. If you are all educated in the legislative majors, why in the heck aren't you guys challenging the system in the name of your written material? Man, this is inhuman. It's people like us that have to do it. And I know that because I'm living proof of one. I went to the United Nations to declare my independence, to stand on the freedoms of it, because I'm sick and tired of being, man, just unjust. And that's what America loves to do. And it's all these people that are in these programs that do nothing but steal money and raise money for their own. I live on a floor with two dogs in my home, man, because I'm willing to give that much away for my family, my grandchildren. That's what I do, because that's how I am, and that's who I am. My air, my Lakota. And that word, too, Lakota, our people use that just as a scenario, man, to make it look good. I've just seen my people spend millions of dollars to establishments that don't give a dang about us in the town, but yet everybody went over there and masqueraded and really talked good, played spiritual. We are told, and I'm going to say this again, and I'm going to hand it back to my sister. We are told never to disturb the dead. Every culture knows that. But you people still watch, that's going to turn around. You've dumped it. Quit doing that. Quit following the way the white man does things, man. Do things indigenous. Do things black. Do things, man, Spanish. Do things yellow. Those are the ones. No, we can't do nothing white. That's been 500 something odd years they've been in our country, and not one person of color turned white. Back to you all.
Okay, I'm going to unmute to see if anyone wants to say anything. Okay.
Tahisha.
Okay.
This is so true about Chinupa, what he has been saying. And it is so true that America and other countries do not care about what's going on. You look at the situation in Africa, all those people and them children are dying over there. They're asking for monies and stuff for these people, but are these monies that they're getting sent over there to help these people, or is it being pocketed by other people? Because you got so much hackers going on out there and scammers going on out there. They make false pages and representing that they're reaching money for other people's out there. And do we really know that's helping these people, you know? And even in our country, like you said, homeless people out here shouldn't have to be homeless. If the monies was going in the right sources to help these people. You know, I've heard people say, well, they're alcoholics and they're drug addicts. Well, what put them there in the first place? You know, they gave up on life, so they have nothing to live for but to drink and use drugs. This is their only survival, but they got the worst part of surviving in this country. Back at you. Hello?
Leona, can you hear that? Somebody put it back in your hands. Leona? Hello?
Okay, does anyone have anything else to say?
I know she put it back in your hands, Leona, the sister that got off there. I think she's still listening.
Okay. So we've been talking about a lot of issues, a lot of things. And you know, sometimes I wish we could focus more on some of the solutions. And I was going to say to one of the brothers that was speaking about the housing issue. A lot of times people don't realize it, but lawyers today, because of their fear to go up against the penal system, are changing their professions, or they're focusing more on housing issues. Okay, let me try to mute. Okay. A lot of them are focusing on housing issues. A lot of them are focusing on other issues, bankruptcy and things like that, because it's the easier way to make money and not have to deal with a lot of the more difficult cases of civil rights violations. A lot of them are changing like that. And so what I would do is, and if you're in South Dakota, I would go on the internet and I would just type in the browser, pro bono lawyers pertaining to housing. If it's for the reservation or for the Native Indians, pro bono lawyers for housing for Native Indians, whatever state it's in, because there are pro bono, there are lawyers that will help with issues of housing because it's the easier way for them. So there are lawyers that will help with the housing issues and pro bono. You wouldn't have to pay them. So when it comes to bankruptcies and housing, there's always pro bono. You just need to type it in the browser in whatever state it's in. But getting to the more difficult is where when you need pro bono lawyers for trials or for post-conviction or for appellates or for civil rights violations or for whatever malpractice, those are the ones that become more difficult because those are the ones that are seeking a lot of money, and the ones that can afford it are, as you were saying earlier, Chinupa and others, the people with money, you know, the wealthy, the government, those are the ones that have. And there's also all this, you type in free government property, surplus. There's properties out there that the government at one time was giving away. I don't know if they still give it away, but free surplus or whatever, government properties in the country. Researching is all I ask of people that are listening to the show all the time, is to listen to what I'm saying. You can research for anything. You can research for free automobiles. You can research for pro bono lawyers for certain things. Whether you get the pro bono lawyers when it comes to the penal system, as I say, that's a different story because they are fearful. They're either fearful or they're not really committed to helping, just taking the money. There was a lawyer in Pennsylvania who charged $20,000 to represent a client in a civil suit. She talked him into settling for $3,000, and she even took that when he won that lawsuit. So this is ignorance of these lawyers that take advantage of people when they're already down. And you find some lawyers are not only working for the client, but they're also working with the Department of Corrections. So when we talk about injustices, these are the things that we need to look at. These lawyers that are serving two masters, as I call it. And I'll tell you another thing, getting down to the medical in the prisons, you have these people with the contracted agencies that are contracted with the Department of Corrections to do the medical. You have some of these prison surgeons that are actually permanently damaging prisoners during minor surgery. They do these surgeries and they permanently damage them. There was a woman who actually, her loved one was medically ill, having medical problems, and they were stalling and delaying. So the woman was recommended to call the regional director of that medical provider. The regional director moved it a little bit faster, but they also, and I think maybe it might have even been intentionally, decided to permanently damage that person. So if all of you out there, any of you have loved ones inside, if they're receiving medical, always document. Keep track of who you talk to, who's behind it all. because the penal system, the Department of Corrections around the country, needs to be overseen. And unfortunately, no one oversees the overseers, and that's a sad situation. Very sad. We have the holidays coming up again, and I'm going to say this. For all of you listening, if you want to do anything positive, go on the internet and type in legislative members working on criminal justice reform, legislative members working on prison reform, legislative members for prisoners, help for prisoners, resources for prisoners, legal help for prisoners, pro bono lawyers for prisoners, aggressive attorneys for prisoners. Because what you want, if you can, is to get aggressive attorneys that are not afraid to go up against the system. And there was one that was really, really good. And I never met the man, but I heard about him, and his name was Jerry Spence. And they said Jerry Spence, he's out of Colorado. Chinupa, I don't know if you know him or anybody knows him. He may be Indian.
Yeah, I know of him. Yes.
He is in, they say he is or was an awesome attorney. The last I knew, he was a professor, but he may have been retired by now. But that was a man that, unfortunately, because he was a professor, in 2007, when those prisoners were being apparently suicidal, when they died, this lawyer was asked to help in some way. And because he couldn't do it, he actually sent an email to another friend of his, Bill Trine, to see if he could help. These are people in Colorado that were willing to help with the issue that was going on in Pennsylvania at the time. But getting back to advocates, there was a couple of advocates that didn't want lawyers involved. One of them became a lawyer himself. So this is what I'm talking about with advocates. Sometimes advocates do things for their own agenda.
You know, if I may, sister, jump in with this piece, I want everyone to really pay attention to this, okay? Unchecked power is the power of tyranny, people. And the hard parts that I and Sister Leona are giving you is the type of what, you know, needs to be held accountable, because a lot of these brothers and sisters that are incarcerated are facing grave human rights violation inside these institutions that only follow policies and procedures through a handbook, okay? That's the hard part. So these felonies and these prejudices, you know, these judicial, you know, ignorances at the systems, you know, injustice fails to meet these things, because everything that goes on, and what she mentioned, that attorney, Jerry, and there was another one named John Snowden. John Snowden was another that looked at human rights and the involvement of people that were incarcerated and how they were being mistreated. And I don't know if John still practices, because John was also a professor of law in UNL, the University of Lincoln, where I went to school. And he did a lot of tremendous work of, you know, bringing forth a lot of investigations and, you know, to the mindset of the corruption of the Nebraska prison system. And so private sectors start to sue, you know, see the validity of what was going on in the state of Nebraska. And so they found different private lands, like the sister was talking about, you know, these lands that were, you know, government surplus, which, you know, fall back into indigenous hands, because this land, you know, complicitly belongs to us. But our people are not really looking into these matters, as you said. So what I'm adding on with sisters, you know, understanding the purpose of why we're talking about, you know, what happens in the prison, you know, in the penal complex is because the exercise of the jurisdiction from people at hand, and everything that is created by, you know, the courts of law and the Justice Department, these are what they call a misprision of a felony. Okay. That's what happens. And we can use these things as, you know, a petition to go after them. But see, a lot of you guys are so used to the comfort zone. You'll chase money, you'll do that. You're going to use the name of incarceration of people thinking that you really look into the criminal activity and proceedings. Nah, that regarding, you know, death is you in your hands. And that's why people perish in these places, man. And if you ever, ever get incarcerated, which eventually you will, time will only, you know, prevail with that. And when you face that, folks, don't think that we were not speaking for those rights to protect you. We were doing this today and for the rest of the days come till we depart from, you know, this earthly behavior and head back to the great mystery and Mother Earth. We are trying to get you all to understand, to find some kind of subsidy to fight for your people's rights and the people that are incarcerated. Do something. As you said, holiday is coming up, and it's called Christmas. If you honor that, then do something with it. Send a gift card to somebody. Get somebody's phone number or his, you know, prison number, his ID number. Send him a letter. Or just send it, you know, via from different, you know, states. You can. I mean, you're all computer literate, and I'm computer illiterate. You guys are computer literate, so you guys can find this. And the consequences that you can help these people with will gonna put a daily smile on them, knowing that somebody cares for them out here. And that's the hard part. And we all try to do this. And those means are essential to you. If you really think you have the right to speak, use your legal power to speak with that authority so they can hear it. Back to you, sister.
Hey, Tanupa, we've got about 3.5 minutes, but I had a quick question for you. The government takes the land from the Native Indians, and then at some point in time, and I don't know if they still do it, but they were giving the land, the surplus land, they were giving away. How does that work? I mean, they take it from the Native Indians, and then they were giving it away at one time. They might still be giving some surplus land away.
Yeah, see, here's the problem. Here's the problem with that, sister. The tribal governments with their so-called, you know, sequence of law, okay, they can get that surplus land and turn it into a convalescent center or a treatment center or something, a youth activity center, something courageously to help, you know, benefit the people in need. They could take it into a homeless shelter, man. But people don't see this because they're so caught up in the way America, you know, practices and perfects colonial policies. They forgot that that's supposed to come back into indigenous, you know, property hand. That's it. Simple. But our brothers and sisters that are in tribal governments and all that, they do not stick their neck out to topple these things. That's why I do this on a regularly basis, monthly. Certain brothers and sisters that get released on parole, they contact Chinupa, and I find them a treatment place. And then at the same time, I find them a workplace. No matter what it is, as long as that's on record, on a piece of paper, and I do it as a write-off because I still have 19 parolees that I work with. That justifies their release legally. It was a hard structure for me to get into that to help them, but God dang it, I did it. And you all can do that if you give a crap about your people. But I always beg to differ with that because talk is one thing. We have children that are still in custody. Right now I'm fighting for a young boy in Washington State. His mother is now federal. And this young boy did not do nothing. And he's illegally incarcerated. But nobody looks at that. So I'm doing my part in these measures of the Democrat and the Republican legislative branches to have him look in him because he's illegally detained. This is a young Native kid of ours, people. He's one of us, but yet you guys are too busy trying to bury human remains. Get away from that. Quit trying to do that for the white man. He unearthed them. He shouldn't have did that in the first place. So the point that sister's making, you tribal governments have a right to take that land and put it back in our care so we can do something for that purpose. But unfortunately, that's how the system works, because they say the tribal government is the entity for land being restorated and returned. But these guys don't do that. They're too busy playing, you know, politics. See, politics is the unchecked power of tyranny, folks. And last but not least, and I know we're coming down to the bottom hours of the shows, okay? If you really understand what being politically correct is, call my number, 605-517-261. If you think you know about it, do it. And I'll answer it truthfully, because what you say when you're in that position is only a purpose of writing a point of interest that belongs to them, not the people. Back to you, sister, and thank you for having me on your show. And courageously, that's how surplus land goes back to treaty land. It goes back into the native trust land. That's what it's supposed to do. But Americans violate their own parentheses of law.
Well, thank you so much for speaking out, Chinupa. And I hope you can do something with some of those surplus land that they have out there, because it's a shame for it to go to waste, and it would be a blessing for the Native Indians to regain it, whatever they can of what was taken. But I want to thank everyone for listening.
Those organic laws can be cited, you know, like the 1861 organic law, which opened up this territory here in the Dakotas. And that can be led up to 1887, the Allotment Act, and all the way up to 1906 and 8 and 1910, all unilateral illegal acts of the federal government.
There's a lot of things that can be resolved. We have to get everyone in the country to play a part in all this. And what we have in this country is people that they don't want to deal with it. They think that they're content with the way they're living, and it hasn't happened to them. And there's hatred and prejudgmental and all these things that go with. This is what makes up the United States. A lot of people that just don't care. And that's on them, because God forbid if it ever happens to them, then they're going to find out what it's all about when no one's out there trying to advocate for them or work or speak on their behalf or try to come on to resolve the issues. So I thank you once again, everyone, for being on, and we're going to end this episode now. And I look forward to anyone that wants to come on next Tuesday to speak out on some of these issues. Again, I thank you all. Thank you, Chinupa, and blessings to all. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, sisters. Thank you.
Okay.